Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country and the world. It's that time again. It's Friday, and that's time for Brock Bucks and the Berg podcast, hosted by a brother, a friend, a mentor to me, Tarek Brock. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles, playing a little co-host with him. 347-205-9631 goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Tarek, how are you? Second of all, how can people reach you? And third of all, what a nice 3 days with the Red Sox in town, and now you get the Reds in the fourth of a nine-game homestand with the Braves following starting Monday.
Man, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Man, good to be here. Starting the weekend set here with some friendly foes here, which would be really good to get going out overlooking them, trying to leapfrog them in the standing. So that would be, really good to get a good start on that tonight. Like you said before, facing the Braves on Monday. But, yeah, you can get a hold of me on Facebook at TarikBrock, first and last name. On Twitter, TarikSR. And on Instagram, TarikBrockSR. I had to look that up because I haven't been on in a while. but, yeah, man, how's everything going?
It's going great, and when you look at the Red Sox, a team in the Pittsburgh, the last three, and then you had the Yankees here earlier, how are these fan bases when they come into Pittsburgh? Are they vocal? I mean, do they try to take over the stadium? I know the Yankee fans can be a little out there, and then you get the Red Sox nation that comes in. How are these fan bases any different? You've seen them up close right there coming through the Berg.
Yeah, I mean just get completely different. We had a bigger, crowd for the Yankee series, but the Red Sox fans, the last few days were very vocal. I think someone in the stands the other day had a Yankees hat on and, they were yelling Yankees suck. So, it was lively there. It was like, wow. Like they were just chanting that for a while. I'm like, what's going on here? But someone got up to go get something to eat, and they thought they'll, let them know where things were. So, but the fan bases are great. It's good for us and, good for our fan base to support us as well when certain chants, get going in the stands.
Yeah, I thought maybe, with the Red Sox having a tough year and the Celtics doing some damage this past year in the NBA, I thought you'd probably see Bird and Parrish and McHale jerseys streaming around that stadium.
at this point in time, where sports are, I wouldn't be surprised of any jersey that, you'll see. I just know that, fans are incredibly, proud of their teams and their cities, and it's great, to see them supported, whether it's at home or on the road. I think it's just good for sports in general. And this is good for our country, for, people to get out and have some fun, enjoy a ball game for a couple hours. And just remember that it's just the game, which, it's tough because people are betting on it. But at the same time, you got guys doing their best. So it's just good to just, have the support, have the challenges of, a friendly, good, pleasant, trash talk and banter while you're out there for a couple hours. But the biggest thing is just understanding that when there is a little banter and trash talk, that there are, some young kids that are listening and watching as well.
Right. And I'll tell you, taking something out of that page, Brubaker, woo, he pitched a stunner. It was clear from the start that he was in the zone, and that was amazing. And Brian Reynolds hit two-run homers. There's been 3,000 shots over that Clemente wall, And man, oh man, on his 88th birthday, Roberto Clemente would have been. That had to be something last night in Pittsburgh as he walloped the Red Sox 8-2.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the coolest thing, like you said. You know, Ryan Reynolds hits two home runs over the 21-foot high wall yesterday and actually was able to, you know, hit the 3,000th home run in club history, which was really great. Again, on Roberto Clemente's, you know, would be 88th birthday. It was just really fitting, you know, for that to happen and to get a victory, you know, to end the, you know, the skid that we were on. Was just good all the way around, and hopefully we can carry that momentum into tonight's game against a divisional foe in the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, and then Kevin Newman and Big Game Gamble there keep the hitting parade going too.
Yeah, I mean, they supply, you know, runs as well as, you know, with Reynolds with the two home runs to help, you know, JT Brubaker, you know, out last night. And like you said, JT came in with a different type of energy, not like he didn't have before, but, I mean, he was just raring to go from the first pitch on, very aggressive, you know, attacked that lineup, you know, very well, kept a good tempo in between innings of getting out there, getting his warm-up pitches, and attacking hitters, which made for a really, really good game for us.
Yeah, and now with the Reds coming in, you'll miss your buddy there, Joey Votto, who's down pretty much for the year. This is going to be a weekend where I guess the mindset is to overtake these Reds, climb above them, drop them in the cellar, and then focus on catching those Chicago Cubs to solidify yourself in third.
Absolutely. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, when you go on a skid, you know, you definitely lose traction in the standings, but we're just looking forward to just getting back into some head-to-head matchups and doing what we can to, you know, continue to climb up, you know, and just position ourselves to finish this year out and, you know, to go into the offseason and looking forward into next year. So, yeah, it's really good. Definitely going to miss Joey, you know, have some really good conversations with him, you know, dating back to 2010 with my Marlin days. And he's just had a tough year. He's missed some significant time, you know, this year with, you know, some different injuries and ailments. So, man, just wishing him the best. But with that being said, with him coming, with him going on the IL, I think, you know, our California friend, hometown friend, and Mike Moustakas should be activated during the series as well.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to be fun, you know, being the first base coach, and you'll see some of these opposing first baseman, you know, you get a chance to chat with them a little bit, and, you know, when they come through, and, you know, with the Phillies next week, you get Reese Hoskins there and stuff, so that's going to be something, and the chat's got to be good. Is it basically, how you doing, how's the family, where's some of the nice restaurants in the city, boom, boom, boom?
I mean, it could be that way, especially, you know, with guys that I haven't met before, but guys that, you know, you have history, was really good, like Hosmer, you know, seeing him, you know, the last 2 years, you know, when he was in San Diego and then getting traded to Boston, it just picked up the conversation that we had, you know, from this year, just checking on when the due date, I think his wife is due next month. So, I mean, the conversations vary based upon, you know, the relationship. You know, we get to St. Louis, Goldschmidt, we talk about golfing and, you know, his kids and how his golf game is going. You know, it just depends, really, which is good. You know, and it just depends when you get guys that you haven't seen over there. It's just trying to get to know him, get some facts. Rowdy Tellez is a really fun, dry guy. We bond over, you know, California, even though he's from Northern California, which is a whole different, you know, I might as well call it a different state in itself, because compared to Southern California, we don't get the same weather. It's like there's a line that stops the rain from coming down to Southern California. So, yeah, the conversations just vary.
Right. And then, you know, last night the Cardinals made a little history there. Pujols and Wainwright continue their dominant careers. And you guys will see them the last six games of the year, 3 in St. Louis, 3 in Pittsburgh. Amazing. We've talked about these two before, and you throw Moline in that, and boy, it's going to be quite different when these guys all move on. But that Cardinal team is just simply amazing up till now, what they're doing now in that division.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. You got the, you know, the old with the new, and you can see the changing of the guard, which is really good. I mean, I think the coolest thing ever is to be able to compete against them the last, you know, 6 or 7 days of the season and, you know, of a couple guys' careers. I think Yachty is, you know, will retire at the end of this year. I know Albert said this was just last year. But to see them perform, you know, I'm pulling for, you know, Albert to get 700, you know, home runs, just not against us. You know, hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But it's just really good. Adam Wainwright is just, you know, been phenomenal. You know, his change of pace, his breaking balls, different shapes, sizes and speeds. I think it's really good. And it'll be good for our young guys to see at the end as well, to see, you know, you work hard enough, you do the right things, and, you know, at the end of your career, you know, hopefully, you know, you're getting celebrated for the things that you've done, you know, on and off the field.
Yeah. Hey, the other day, the Dodgers in Milwaukee, their sideline reporter, David Vesey, went down that Bernie's Chalet slide, ended up fracturing his arm and breaking 6 ribs. I said to myself, that looks fun to do, but I think I'll wear my hockey gear if I'm going down that thing.
Yeah, that was very, you know, unfortunate. I saw something early this week where, you know, a couple guys from MLB Network had went down before he did. And I saw it, and I was just like, wow, you know, that was tough and, you know, very unfortunate, hoping that he heals up soon. But it's something that, you know, when you're there, you look, you're like, man, I want to do it. I just haven't had the opportunity to. But I just think it would be a cool thing, barring no injury. I'm already dealing with some as it is.
Yeah, let me borrow the Italian sausage so I can use him as a comforter as I'm going down that slide.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So when you guys get into Milwaukee, check that out. I know it'll be on the next road trip when you guys go through Philly and Milwaukee. So caution tape on that thing. It's that time again as we look at center fielders. Monday we'll do the right fielders. And I came up with my top five. Mike Trout, Byron Buxton, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, and Ken Griffey Jr. missing the cut. Kirby Puckett, George Springer, Jim Edmonds, and Cesar Cedeno.
Ooh-wee. That's a really, really good one right there. Yeah. Again, I tried to stick with guys that I saw, and I did it just purely on watching guys run down balls. You know, we can leave their offensive prowess out of it. But I went with number one, Ken Griffey Jr. The kid just changed the game defensively. You know, crashing in the walls, robbing home runs, a big smile. And then I went with the young kid that pretty much changed the game as far as bringing, you know, culture and hip-hop into it. He was basically, I would call him the Allen Iverson of baseball, which was Andrew Jones. I mean,
yeah.
He played shallow, wore the Jordans so that everybody can see, like, just changed the game. And then I would go with, you know, a California native, you know, Eric the Red, Eric Davis, man, his days back in Cincinnati, man, in center field on that turf, man, you know, hitting the carpet, getting up and making plays. And then I went with a guy that just, you know, recently, you know, left MLB and went over to Japan. But when this guy was in Baltimore, man, this guy ran down everything in Adam Jones. You know, really good ball player. And then I went with a guy that won, you know, 5 consecutive gold gloves while he was in Toronto. But I don't forget about his days when he was with the, back then, the you know, California Angels, or he's going to Anaheim Angels.
Yeah.
But this is time, Devon White. I mean, just really did some really cool things and just love how he just floated on the field. And then I would go, oh, my missing the cut. You know, Mike Trout would miss the cut for me. A guy that I met personally but didn't get to see him play that missed the cut for me is number 4 from the Dodgers and Duke Snider.
Yeah, yeah. On the XM side of things, I work with a guy on there, and he, that was his idol, Duke Snyder. But, man, there's some real prominent guys on there, and when you look at it, and Jim Edmonds missing the cut for me was tough because those acrobatic catches in Anaheim and going to St. Louis were just unbelievable. And, man, oh, man, some great center fielders. I know Monday's going to be the right fielders, and to give you a little bit of a tease, the best one I saw, and he'll probably be top in my list, would be Dave Parker, the Cobra. That was just simply amazing. What a presence with that bat and posing figure. Unbelievable. So yeah. That little tease on Monday.
That's a good one right there. Definitely, as we know, you know, I talked to you last year about the time I spent with him, so that was really good.
Yeah.
But you know what? Before we go real quick, don't forget Bernie Wells was a good center fielder. And Torrey Hunter,
yeah.
People forget Torrey Hunter came in
as a
center fielder and ran down some stuff. So another, you know, two good guys that missed the cut, and just wanted to mention those guys as well. But looking forward to Mondays as well.
Yeah, Monday could be an early one. Got a doctor's appointment. I'll see on your side of the coin if 8:30 works for you. It'll be an early one for me. One of those where you get up before the roosters for me. So, but I got a doctor's appointment. I said, am I going to let Garrett know if that's good for him at 8:30 in Pittsburgh time before the Braves and the Bucks get it on for three games?
Man, looking forward to it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And do me a favor, take those Reds out this weekend, because that's the only concern I have out here is watching you guys take the Reds out. The Marlins and Dodgers and all these other guys can go off to the left here.
Yes, you can, you know, catch me on Facebook, first and last name, TarrickBrock. You know, at Twitter, TarrickSR. And Instagram's first and last name with senior, so TarrickBrockSR. Man, have a great weekend, everybody. Some lot of sports that's going on. Good baseball to watch, man, and have some fun.
Yeah, and a priceless pick with you and Brian Flores and the Steelers over there the other day. I just wanted to get that out to you. That was a real nice one with you guys, so I'm glad to see everybody in the Berg is bonding over there and getting ready for the football season and the hockey season and the Pirates too, and unbelievable to say the least. For Tarrick Brock out there in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll convene on Monday morning early from Pittsburgh as the Braves and the Pirates will get it on. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a blessed weekend, and thanks for tuning in.